Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Today is Friday, and this is the day we do Mythbusters with co-host Chris Rosini. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Well, good. What do we have on the table to talk about today? Anything interesting?
Well, there's plenty of political entertainment out there, that's for sure. And while it's all happening, a lot of important issues are in the background and nobody's focusing on them. And one of them is the Federal Reserve. So we're going to focus on them today.
Great.
The Fed is, even though they like to hide in the shadows, they are the creator of the booms and busts that we've been experiencing, especially over the last several decades. So if you could talk about how the Fed and not greedy businessmen or the price of oil are the source of artificial booms, it'll really help to clear a lot of people's understanding.
Yeah, and I think the most important thing first is get people to understand the definition of inflation, because it's always being misused. Because when it's referred to by government officials in the Federal Reserve and most economists, for that matter, will say inflation is when consumer prices go up. CPI is their measurement. But this is a fallacy. This is misleading. And one good example of that is that during the 1920s, the CPI essentially stayed flat and prices weren't going up. And they were always reassuring themselves. There was no malinvestment, no distortion, and no reason why there was a bubble. And yet there was one. It was in the stock market. But they were looking at things. And I used to argue with myself on this. Well, why don't we just, it's semantics. They're just careless. And if they would just say inflation is the increase in the money supply and it leads to price inflation, you could get by on this. But I came around to understanding that there's a precise reason for this. And that is, if prices go up, and you alluded to it in your introduction, is that some people blame, well, business people, they make too much money, profits, too much profits, labor unions, too many demands, and all these other reasons. In the 70s, it was always the oil price went up. And it's done deliberately that it's the price is the problem and not the Federal Reserve creating new money. So inflation really is the increase in the supply of money, which is a distortion. So as long as they do that, then they allow to stay on the table the use of wage and price controls. You know, in my lifetime, it's been used quite a few times. The first time, remember, well, in World War II, the Korean War. But there's a lot of price controls all along the way when prices go too high. For instance, in medicine, they have a lot of money in medicine, and prices are going up too high to support the corporations that are making the money, then they'll put price controls on. So that's always the answer. That allows people to look to more government regulations to try to camouflage and hide the real culprit, and the real culprit is the Federal Reserve. It's inflation. They increase the supply of money. And that is practically synonymous with lower interest rates. So they do this by lowering interest rates and allowing people to take easy money and go out and spend. Now, here's a chart we have here on the M2 money supply. And that's what happened. That goes back to, I think that's 1960. So it was real flat all along there. Then all of a sudden you see this skyrocketing. And in the last 17 years, look at what has happened. So since the recession, where there was that little blip, tremendous increase. So this reflects a fallacy that says that most people have been indoctrinated with, is that money is wealth and money isn't wealth. Money dilutes wealth and destroys wealth production. And yet that generally is what the case is. But the culprit that has to be looked at is the Federal Reserve, manipulation of interest rates, manipulation of the money supply, and also the seductiveness of this easy deal for the politicians, because the politicians will yell and scream, but the politicians love it too, because they don't have to be responsible. So if you're a welfarist, oh yeah, we don't really have to worry about the deficits. We can always send that to the Fed, and they print money. And the military-industrial complex, they like it, too. And that goes along well and can go on for a good many years, and it has. but eventually you run into trouble. And I think that's where we are today, running into trouble, mainly because they are not recognizing the real culprits and where the problem lie, and looking toward a solution. So right now, we're not on the verge of a solution. We're on the verge of making it much worse.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add that that chart that showed the increase in money, that's the crisis. I mean, it creates artificial booms, and it seems like it's good times, but that's the crisis. Now, the crisis that everybody talks about is the unwinding, and that's the next topic, and that's when it all comes down in a bust. The Fed only has one major tool, and there was a former Fed governor from Dallas. His name was Robert McAteer, and he described it as this. He said, today, every time we have a major emergency, you know, the first thing we do is get on the microphone and open up. You open up the spigot. So please talk about them just printing more money to solve the problem that they created.
Problem of too much money. And that's been notorious because anytime the people, the average person goes to the store and bread has just gone from $1 to $5, they don't have enough money. So it's very easy to be tempted to say, well, you know, rich people have the money, we should have some money, and what's the government going to do, give us more money? But they don't look to the cause, so they look to the symptom. But when things get distorted, sometimes there are distortions even in free markets, and there are automatic corrections because they have to live within their means and deal with their debt. But when the market gets really out of whack, like it certainly was the worst, probably maybe in the history of the world, 08 and 09, which has continued, the market is always demanding correction. Corrections are good, but there's all this resistance, the political resistance, the banking resistance, the welfare recipients of resistance, the military-industrial complex. Nobody wants to accept the fact that the market is saying you should actually deflate. You should deflate the debt. See, one of the most symbolic and a symbol of inflation of the money supply is the size of the debt. And when you can sell the debt to people in the marketplace, that's fine. But today, it's the central banks that have to buy the debt. Just this year, 2017, I think it's $1.5 trillion the central banks bought up of debt. And some of that debt isn't even worth anything. Just think of all those bonds that the Fed is holding from the housing bubble bust. They can't unload these because nobody wants them. If they had wanted them, they wouldn't have needed the Fed to create money out of thin air. And look at a balance sheet, you know, from the Federal Reserve. That sharp upbeat in 2008. I mean, that is when they started pouring it in, and it went from $800 billion up to almost $4.5 billion. That's a 500% increase, and that was to save the problem of too much money in circulation, too much distortion of interest rates. Now, they do admit, and even the central bankers have admitted, well, it was probably, Greenspan's fault because he kept his technical analysis allowed him to keep interest rates too low for too long, and that was the problem. But then when the bust comes and they say, well, what we need to do is lower them more and, you know, do it permanently, then they wonder why you have like 100 million people out of the workforce and why the worse it gets, the richer the wealthy people get. And then they say there's no inflation. Well, what about the wealthy people right now? How many million-dollar houses are on the market? At the same time, how many people do we have in the streets? Tens of thousands, probably 100,000 people living in the streets. If you just add up what's in L.A. and in New York City, there's people out on the streets. So, yes, those people aren't having high prices for houses. They can't afford them. And why are they out on the street? Because of inflation. There was a recent analysis of checking why there was a growing number of people in L.A. out on the street. They said, well, we can't pay the rent. Their jobs they're still working, a lot of them, but they don't make enough money, and it's part of the bubble bursting, and we don't have a productive society. So they don't have enough money to pay for the rent, which is high, inflated. At the same time, the cost of living is high. So it is inflation that causes the problem. Just because, the CPI isn't going up, they want to not deal with it. But the one thing is they can create money, and they can assume the CPI CPI should respond, but you can't make the assumption that you know where the money's going to go. And it sometimes goes into average CPI. That was more the case in the 1970s. But now it goes everywhere, mostly into debt. And, you know, when they buy all that debt we just saw in that chart that the central bankers bought after the housing bubble burst, it's all inflation. And that, of course, is a gross distortion of what's going on in the economy. And it's much more serious. But they will not admit that their policies are wrong. They admit, well, we just need more technical allowances, more adjustments, and we'll tinker here and there. And they will talk about what the Congress should do, and they should, because the Congress contributes to this. If you take the housing bubble, you had the Community Reinvestment Act, which said to the bankers, not only is there extra credit encouraging people to make bad loans, they're telling them, you must make them. It's against the law to exclude somebody. And that, a lot of that is going on right now. People who are bad risk are buying automobiles. There's bubbles right now in the debt market. In the automobiles, the debt is in student loans, credit card debt, and it just goes on and on. And there's a lot of debt out there people don't realize that they owe in their medical bills. Of course, so much of the money is in the medical catastrophe that has been subsidized by inflation has gone to corporations, you know, the insurance companies, the drug companies, and the management companies. So there's a tremendous amount of inflation. So where this new money goes depends a whole lot on what the Congress does. They make things worse. But the real problem is the creation of money out of thin air. The founders understood it. This is not brand new. They knew how to destroy a currency back in Roman times. And it just goes on and on. And the founders learned a lesson, and they put it in the Constitution. Nothing but gold and silver can be legal tender. But look at where we are today.
Yeah. Well, we've seen the charts. The money has supply has exploded by trillions, especially after 2008. Yet, Dr. Paul, consumer prices have not spiraled out of control. So has the Fed avoided their day of reckoning? Have they outsmarted the laws of supply and demand?
No, I think they've made it much worse. I think the inflationary bubble, and I see that in the debt, is the worst in the history of the world. And it's international. It's based on a dollar standard, and it's due to trillions and trillions of dollar world debt now. It's like $220 trillion, and they keep buying and buying. There's still a bit of confidence out there. The dollar is still has purchasing power, but no, the bubble is so big that when the real correction comes, it's going to be a lot worse than what happened in 08 and 09. And it is a very serious thing, because they will not admit that what you need is hard work, you need savings, and you need honest investments, and you need a limited government, and you need a sound monetary system, and you need a lot less meddling. And we don't have that. There's a lot more people who are starting to talk about these things, but there's too many people who are dependent on this welfare stay and on the constant inflation. It's an addiction. And it's hard to get people off drugs if they're addicted to it. And our economy is addicted to this spending and printing money. And that is why we have this crisis that we're facing.
Yep. Let's finish up, though, with the solution to this. Now, obviously, we can't avoid what's coming. However, if you could talk about the ideas that need to be adopted when people are going to be most open to them, what should advocates of liberty and sound money, what should we do in the meantime while we wait for this to unfold?
Well, I generally go back to one thing when I get these questions, and that is understanding. People should be who want to participate in taking care of themselves and participating in making the correction. We should understand the economic policies, and that is understand to the best they can about what's happening. And if you're looking at the symptoms, you have to look at the cause. And of course, that's what we're trying to do here, is to reemphasize once again that the Federal Reserve is the basic cause. And that is, you know, very important. then I think people should try to protect themselves because, you know, prices are going up and people are suffering. Now they have no savings and it's really, really tough. So I think people, when they're capable of doing it, they should try to own some silver and gold. And I know tough times, but even owning some silver is going to be worth something when this real crunch comes. But I think the overall solution only comes when we change our attitude about the role of government. Should the government be the lender of last resort? Should we have the socialists take over? But, you know, there's been a lesson about socialism. Zimbabwe didn't do so well. The Soviet Union didn't do so well. Venezuela didn't do so well. But Bernie Sanders has done pretty well. He's the great socialist who's now a millionaire. So once again, you know, this is why there's so much cynicism out there. What we need is more liberty. But we should, you know, basically follow the Constitution and free markets, and there would be the prosperity. But as long as we do this, debt is going to get much worse. The markets actually rule. When we tried to pretend our dollar was as good as gold at $35 an ounce, and they did it for a good many years, finally it collapsed, and gold in dollar prices soared, and it's still pretty darn high, $1,200 to $1,300 an ounce, and it's going to go a lot higher because right now, the worse things get, the more they accelerate the inflation. That is the creation of money and credit and buying up bad bonds that aren't worth very much. If they were worth something, they'd probably sell them. But I think this is a crucial issue, the issue of the day. It works into all our economic problems as well as our foreign policy. If we did not have this system of money, we would not be able to fight the wars overseas. And some people say, well, would that make us more, you know, less safe? No, it would make us a lot safer, and we would be wasting a lot less. It would make us a lot more prosperous. Those are my goals, and that's what I like to emphasize. Chris, I want to thank you very much for being with us today in MythBusters.
Thank you very much, Dr. Paul.
And I want to thank our audience today for joining us, and please come back soon to the Liberty Report.